Welcome back to another episode of the Authors Unite Show. Here's your host, Tyler Wagner.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Authors Unite Show. Today we have Tom King with us. So welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Tyler. I'm excited to get this going.
Yes, me too, man. So if you can, start us off and just tell us a little bit more about you and what you do.
Good question. Well, I'm a serial entrepreneur, so I've started several businesses and then sold some of them and made a lot of mistakes along the way. And about 4 years ago, I wrote a book on keto. That was actually more of some writings into a journal because I was in Las Vegas and kind of overdid it and looked in the mirror and really didn't like what I saw. So I started journaling about it. So I'm like a person who journals every day. And I started journaling about what it was taking from me, then the exact steps that I took to make a lifestyle change and adopt a ketogenic lifestyle. And a year later, I had a book on my hands, but that's my side hustle. My daytime job is I'm CEO and chief food scientist of at Icon Foods, and we help companies formulate, and we supply ingredients, those specifically in sports nutrition, ketogenic, low carb, stuff like that.
Okay, this is awesome. So first, let's dive a little deeper into the Vegas stuff.
Okay.
What do you mean when you look like, was it what you were eating? Was it partying? Was it everything? Like, tell us a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of this moment, you know, like where, you know, alcoholics bottom out. I just kind of had that moment. And so, I mean, I've always, you know, I've had the Icon Foods for quite a while, and, you know, and we've been servicing the, you know, low carb and keto manufacturing community for quite a while, but I was not living the lifestyle. Like, I would talk it, but I was not living it. Like, I would have pizza and slam down a bottle of wine or two at night. And I just, you know, so I felt like in some ways, you know, like an imposter, and my health started to really turn to shit. Like, my blood pressure, you know, was exceptionally high. I was going through a second divorce. I was carrying about 35 pounds of extra weight. And so I was in Vegas and went out to dinner with one of our vendors. And traditionally, when you do that, the vendor pays. And when somebody's paying for dinner in Vegas, well, you, as they say, let it roll. And so I had steak, I had potato, I had cake, I had wine. And I got up to the room, you know, and we were staying in the Luxor at the time. And really, the Luxor, it should have been torn down at that time, because it was just the room. The only thing I can describe the room is, like, it smelled like broken dreams and regret. And, you know, it still smelled like liquor. You know, somebody spilled something on the floor, and I got to the room and I'm just like, Jesus, this is what I've become. This is who I am. And, you know, I looked in the mirror and I looked puffy, and I'm like, I've got to make a lifestyle change. So I think at that point, the pain of my behavior had exceeded the pleasure that I was deriving from it. And I just started writing it down, like, okay, so how am I going to make a lifestyle change? And, you know, that's what led to the book. That's what led to, you know, me manufacturing a line of condiments that, you know, specifically for people that want to cut sugar out or follow keto or low carb.
Yes. And I will say, I will endorse those. You sent, I actually got two goodie boxes of those.
Nice.
Yeah. So I got an extra hookup, I think, on accident.
Good.
But I'll take it. So just curious on the alcohol thing, is it's interesting, like, alcohol, I just think alcohol is so interesting because, you know, the term alcoholic, I think, varies. It's just, I guess it's kind of through the eyes of the beholder, like, what determines one.
Right.
But, like, for me recently, like, I've actually, I'm not going to say I'm not going to drink ever again, but it may be similar to you where it started to come to my attention that, like, yes, while I'm drunk, it feels good, but the after effect started becoming so much worse and worse and worse that I was like, this isn't worth it. Like, I just like, I feel good for like 3 hours while I'm buzzed, but then the whole next day is ruined. So I guess I'm saying all that because I'm curious, like, have you completely rid it out of your life, or have you just found like a healthy balance with it?
You want the honesty here. I think food was a bigger problem for me.
Okay.
And what would happen is I would start to drink, you know, and at that point in time, red wine was my thing. 'Cause I live in Oregon and, you know, the wineries here produce some amazing Pinot. And so wine was basically my thing. And I'd come home from work, crack open a bottle of wine. But once you start drinking the wine, you know, then your self-control over what you eat sort of goes out the window. You know, like, you get the munchies. And
the munchies. That's what
It's, yeah, it's a weed legal state here too. So,
So you get those.
So the combination of weed and wine generally leads to ice cream, cake, potato chips, and pizza. Part of the routine. So, yeah, and you know, even now it's like I consider myself a really disciplined person. So I don't like to have habits because I feel like if you have a habit, the habit can control you. And I would say, honestly, I still have an alcohol habit, like, you know, particularly with COVID. Like, COVID has been, you know, COVID has really impacted, you know, our business. I mean, we're an essential business and we're able to still operate. But I mean, it's protecting all my employees, like making sure that we're social distancing and making sure that we've got contact tracing and making sure that, you know, keeping the wheels on. And, you know, it has been super stressful. And I practice meditation, I work out, I, you know, practice yoga. I've used all those things, but I got to tell you, at the end of the day, nothing seems to take that edge off as effectively, I would say, as a nice glass of whiskey.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And it's like, and the thing is like, yeah, I mean, you know, I wrote a book on keto. Is alcohol keto? Absolutely not. I mean, it's not keto. And if it's like, I don't encourage people to, hey, you know what? Tom King drinks a glass of whiskey every night when he gets home. I think I should probably start doing it. No, don't do that. It's like, 'cause now I've got that habit, right? And that habit is super hard to break because I'll come home from work and it'll be, you know, like a shit show, and I'll sit down and start feeling a little edgy, like, oh man, you know, and the next thing I know, you know, totally. Pour myself a glass of Buffalo Trace with some rocks in it. And
it took me a while to, it was just that next morning and I don't even know why. Because when I was, and I'm 29, so it feels weird to say, it's just, I do notice a very profound difference. When I was younger, I could drink, I feel like, a limitless amount, and I'd wake up and feel fantastic. I'd feel like nothing happened. And now one drink and in the morning, I'm like, I feel a little off. I feel dehydrated. I'm like, this sucks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I don't really get that. Like, there's once in a while, you know, like on a weekend or something like that, I'll have like 4 or 5 whiskeys, and I don't exceed that. 'Cause if I exceed it, then I do feel like crap the next day, but I do consistently have one, and I rationalize it too. Like, you know, it's like, okay, so if I'm drinking, you know, whiskey, I'm not smoking weed. I'm just throwing all my vices out there. what's the worst? I think that weed is way, way better for you than alcohol. Like, alcohol is just poison. Yeah. But, you know, and then, you know, you read stories about an octatarian. I think that's what they call people that are over 100. A centenarian. So when you read about centenarians, you know, and it's like, yeah, I have a glass of whiskey every day. And then,
or they smoke a pack a day.
Yeah. And I'm like, well, that just makes it okay for me. You know, this person lived to 100. So, you know, if I have a glass of whiskey every day, who's that going to hurt? but yeah. it's a habit, you know? And it's like, okay, so do you control the habit or does the habit control you? That's the big question.
Totally. So let's, I want to dive into the keto stuff too. So basically, what did you notice when you started? Cause when you looked at yourself in the mirror in Las Vegas that night, I guess, and that was kind of the realization, then you switched to keto. So what was the initial, like, profound positive effects that you got from switching to keto?
Everybody expects me to say weight loss, and that wasn't it. Not at all. It was clarity. It was like brain function. That's the thing that I noticed immediately, you know, like, well, I shouldn't say immediately. I would say within a week or so, you know, cause it takes your body a while to get fat adapted, because what keto is your body starts burning fats for energy instead of glucose. And so basically you're depleting your body of glucose and feeding it a lot of fat. So you're not eating any sugar. You're eating pretty low carbs. The carbs that you're eating are basically from cruciferous vegetables, but what you're eating a ton of is a ton of fat. Like you're eating, cheese, eggs, meat, avocados. I eat the crap out of avocados and nuts. Like nuts are like one of my favorite things. So once your body starts burning fat, it's enormously more efficient than burning glucose. So the thing that I noticed is once I hit keto, it was like somebody turned the lights on in the room and I was like, holy crap, this is, you know, this isn't what I expected. You know, like I used to crash about 2 p.m., you know, like after I'd eat something for lunch, then at 2, I'd be like, I'm out. I gotta lay down for a minute, or, you know, I'd start spacing out and stuff like that. With keto, that was pretty much eliminated. Cause I coupled keto with intermittent fasting, where basically I stop eating at about 6 or 7 at night. And then I don't start eating, you know, my eating again until about noon or 1. So it gives me my body that time to sort of fast and get all of the glucose burned out of my system. And then when I do eat, it's usually 70% fat, 20% protein, and 10%, you know, like cruciferous carbs and like broccoli and cauliflower and lettuces and things like that.
Got now, when you say 70% fat, like what exactly are you eating that is that much fat? Like you're not just like eating like a stick of butter, right?
No, that's a really good question, because, you know, like I've mixed up my diet quite a bit to see if I could do like a plant-based, more of a plant-based. But if you eat an avocado, I mean, an avocado is mostly fat. So you could have an avocado with some nuts. You know, you could have more fatty type meats like a ribeye steak or something like that. I've actually cut a lot of the red meat out of my diet because it causes inflammation. But for breakfast, well, I don't have breakfast, but for, you know, when I have lunch, it's generally like I'll have an avocado and I'll have a salad, but I literally drench that salad in olive oil. So it's avocado, olive oil, and I'll put some like pumpkin seeds on the top of it. And I'm easily eating 70% fat right there.
Got it. That makes sense. Yeah. I'm a big avocado fan. So I
feel
you there. So for your company, when you're, like you're saying, it's kind of like custom solutions. Can you dive into that? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. So companies will come to us and, you know, like, let me think of a good, here's an example. Somebody will come to us and with a meal replacement bar, and the current meal replacement bar that they've got will have like, you know, 20 grams of carbs, 7 grams added sugars, you know, and the rest of the macronutrients be, you know, like fibers and stuff like that. So we will take that bar and we'll bring it down to like, you know, keto macronutrients, meaning increase the fat. We completely, you know, take out all of the added sugars and then add more fiber and get the total carb count into that keto range. So if you have a bar, having it under, I would say, 3 grams of carbs for a bar, puts it in that category where somebody who, you know, somebody who is practicing keto or trying to stay low carb can have it. So we cut out the sugars, cut out the carbs, and then we just, you know, we deliver that recipe to them. And then they're able to source those ingredients from us because we manufacture sweetening systems. So basically, if somebody's got a product and they're like, hey, I want a quick, easy plug-in for sugar, we have that. Like we have a variety of different sweetening systems that somebody can just literally replace the sugar and add our product, and there's no difference in their product.
That's awesome. Yeah, substitute, what's it called? Stevia? Do you ever use that?
Yeah, so we were one of the first people to bring stevia into the U.S., and I've worked with stevia since 1999. Stevia is great. Monk fruit is great. But really, we look for more of a synergistic sort of combination of stevia, monk fruit. I have another compound that I use called allulose. That's a rare sugar. I use erythritol. So I have quite a few different sweeteners in my toolbox that I can work with. And it varies, each formula varies on functionality. Like if somebody's doing a baked good and they want it to rise, they want it to be, you know, like brown on the outside with a crispy layer and sort of moist middle and stuff, that requires a whole different sort of set of sweeteners. And so that's why our business is pretty technical. Based on what somebody is making. Like if they're making a beverage, a little bit simpler formulation to replace the sugar. If somebody's doing baked goods, that's kind of like alchemy. I mean, I'm still like not a great baker, and I never understood it really, but it really is sort of magical because it uses a lot of different chemical processes to get things to rise and to get things to, you know, to take shape. So it's different across the board.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I know I'd like to try some of those other ones. Stevia has worked pretty well. I noticed a slight difference, but not enough that it like bothers me. Like, so it's interesting. I want to touch on this because it's like stevia works so well for me as a substitute. And does stevia doesn't have really negative side effects? That like sugar is very bad for you overall, isn't it? Or no?
Sugar, well, I mean, sugar is like, and when you look at exactly what happens, you know, to your body when you consume sugar, sugar is not good for you. But a lot of people will take in sugar without even realizing it, or they think that it's okay. So table sugar is actually what's called a disaccharide. It means that it's two different sugars. So sugar is actually part fructose and part glucose. And so your body, your stomach actually breaks that apart when you eat sugar. And so the glucose just goes into your system, is burned as energy. And then the fructose part of it has to be metabolized by your liver. And so what's interesting is that your liver doesn't really turn fructose into energy. What the liver does is it turns the fructose into lipids. And so lipids are fat. And so your body literally takes that fructose, your liver takes that fructose and converts it to fat. And I'll give you an example of this. So like when you see a bear that's going to hibernate, you know, like in the fall, and the fall is when like all the fruit is super ripe and it starts falling off the tree and it's on the ground and it's like starting to get rotten. That's the fruit that the bears go after. And it's just because it has the highest concentration of fructose. And so, you know, people are like probably regular people that aren't, you know, in science have always looked at bears and it's like, how does that bear get so fat? I mean, you know, they're just eating all of this, you know, garbage that's out there. But really how they get fat is from eating all of that fruit that's on the ground. So they'll eat the apples, the pears, whatever they can get their hands on, rotten fruit that's in your garbage. And their liver actually converts all of that fructose that they're taking in from that rotten fruit into fat. It converts it into fat. They get super fat. And then when they go into hibernation, they're able to live off of that. But human beings, well, most human beings don't hibernate. We don't need to consume large amounts of fructose and convert it to lipids, because what happens is it just creates metabolic disease. So when you see somebody who's slugging down, you know, like one of those big gulps of like Pepsi or whatever that's loaded with high fructose corn syrup, all of that fructose that's in there is being metabolized by their liver and being metabolized into fats. And that's when you see somebody who's got like this big, huge, you know, belly around their middle. That's all of that, all of those lipids being stored up. So when you see somebody sit down for breakfast and they order a big tall glass of orange juice, that's literally like drinking an entire glass of fructose. And that is what's going to make you fat.
See, that's what I feel like still. I've actually done keto before, and it definitely works. Mm-hmm. And I think it was like four years ago when I was mm-hmm. first introduced to it, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it's so interesting because most people, just from like a logical standpoint, like it seems strange that eating fat doesn't make you fat. You know, this is weird, right? But like eating sugar makes you fat, but eating, so like, what does the body turns fat into energy, but it turns sugar into fat?
Well, it turns sugar into two things. It breaks it up. The glucose goes into your bloodstream and you're able to function, you know, like burn that as energy. But what happens is your body also releases insulin to balance that glucose. But the other part that's broken off is the fructose that gets metabolized by your liver. But the liver is like a super organ. And I mean, I just am super fascinated by it because of all of the things that it does. Because when you eat fats and you're in, you know, your body is depleted, you know, of glucose, basically, your body converts those fats to ketones. So that's what your liver can convert fats to ketones. It can convert fructose to lipids. It can convert alcohol into a good time. I mean, it does. It does so much stuff. It's like, wow, the liver is really this total amazing organ. But and I know, and so I also like talk to a lot of people. It's like, yeah, I did keto. And one thing that I like to get across to people too is like, keto is not for everybody. I mean, I think eating low carb is always, you know, probably the smartest thing to do. But there's also people that I know that are real fanatics about keto. Like I did solid hardcore keto for 3 years, like super hardcore, would always like be in deep keto. And so what I found is that over that period of time, I started to become metabolically inflexible. So basically I would look at a carb and gain weight. Like I was so carb sensitive. And so that's where, you know, I had to break things up quite a bit and actually cycle on and off keto. So like I'll go 2-3 weeks keto, I'll go a week low carb, you know, add things back into my diet that, you know, like squash or like yams and stuff like that, maybe a little bit of quinoa. So I'll mix it up. But I do break it up because what it does is it forces my body to be able to effectively metabolize both carbs and fats and proteins.
Yeah, I didn't do it for 3 years. I did it for about 6 months, and I was very though like I think we're similar in that way. Like I'm just I'm pretty extreme with things, so mm-hmm. I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna go all the way. So I was like,
yep.
No carbs, you know. I was like, zero carbs.
Yep.
and I was like, just I forget exactly what it was. It was like zero carbs, zero sugar, and it was basically just fat, protein, and I think even though vegetables have carbs, but they were good carbs or whatever. So
yeah, those are the low glycemic carbs. Yeah. Like I mean, because I still eat, you know, like when I'm in keto, I'll still eat carbs, but it's mostly like cruciferous vegetables and lettuces and stuff like that. So basically if it grows above the ground, you should eat it. If it grows underground, it's going to be a starch.
Got it.
And that's kind of, I mean, it's pretty basic. Like I mean, I talk to people that are like big time keto heads and they're way into the deep, deep number counting of it. And for me, it's like, I just like to live a comfortable lifestyle and
yep.
I do have a tendency to go overboard with stuff. Like when I find a particular discipline or I find a new thing, I go all in, like a fanatic. So, I'm not sure that that's for everybody.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I appreciate you coming on. I want to,
thanks, Tyler.
I feel like there's a lot of value here, and I think there's perfect amount of room for people to discover more. So, tell us like website and book and where people can stay in contact. And I know you have some amazing, they're not supplements technically, but the goodie bag that you sent to me, I still have it. There was a lot of stuff in there. So I think I'm good for the next like 6 months or something.
Nice. Yeah. Well, if you guys want to, if your audience wants to find me on social media, they can find me at Guy Gone Keto, on every single social. If you want to see kind of like what my day job is, you can go to Icon Foods, iconfoods.com, and see basically, what my daytime job is. The Guy Gone Keto is my passion and kind of my side hustle. So you can check me out on social medias and DM me if you have any questions or comments or anything like that.
Okay, cool, man. Thank you again for coming on.
Awesome. Thanks, Tyler.
The Authors Unite show is sponsored by AuthorsUnite.com, your one-stop shop for becoming a profitable author and maximizing your impact.